I thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here tonight, and I'm less than any of you. I'm less than the least one here. Paul said less than nothing, but the Lord did send me down here, and I'm here. But I thank God tonight for having the opportunity to be back and see Brother Ernie. And Brother Ernie is wonderful to me. I really love Brother Ernie, and I appreciate him so very much. Also, our Brother Dennis, who is, don't hardly know how to express it about Dennis. He's like part of us. He's part of my people, and he's here, there, and everywhere. And we have some of the finest, sweetest black brothers and sisters in all the world over at Little Bethlehem in Monroe, Georgia. They attend there at the Tabernacle regular, and they're some of the sweetest, cleanest, upright people. Now, I don't mean this contrary to you, because you might be some of the best Christians in the world, but the folks I got there are real Christians. I mean real, genuine. They're people that's going to make the rapture and go with God. They're clean, every whit whole. It's wonderful people. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn over with me. 1 John. Read just a little bit here.
I think I'll start in the second chapter.
My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Whereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. If I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning, I have written unto you, young men, because you're strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. All right, in the second chapter of the 8th verse, it said, the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. Peter also, in the 18th verse, or John rather, tells us here that we are in the last time. I wonder tonight, how many of you really believe that we are in the last time? Let me see your hand. We are in the last times. And in the last times, we are told that Antichrist will come. Now, knowing that we are in the last time, it is good to also connect the scripture with it where it says, now the darkness is past and the true light shineth. How many of you like that? I like that, don't you? The darkness is past and now the true light shineth. There's been a time of shadows and been a time of darkness. But now all of a sudden from somewhere, God is beginning to do something that He has never done before. Never, no, never in all of the history of mankind has God ever before done what He is doing now. You know, there's one thing that the church world seems not to be aware of, and that is the way that the rapture is going to take place. How do you know that there's no such word as rapture in the Bible? Let's get off to a good start here. How do you know that? You know, we're taught by different doctrines and different churches that what we've got to do is wait for the coming of the Lord, and that after a while, the rapture is going to take place, and we're going to, you know, catch a fire chariot and go off to heaven. But I want you to know something tonight, that it's easy for a person to be sidetracked and get off to the wrong start not knowing what the Scripture says. Jesus told him one time, He said, you do err not knowing the Scripture. And most of the time, the people err because they do not know the Scripture. They've not been taught the Word of God. And inasmuch as they don't know the Scripture, then they don't, they finally wind up erring, and they don't get into the real mind of God. A lot of people don't understand the Word of God. Jesus taught when He spoke about the parables. He said, and some that was sown said this was of those that did hear the Word and understand the Word. And He said, those that understood the Word, these were they that brought forth fruit.
Right.
How many of you know tonight that if you don't understand the Word, you cannot produce the fruits of the Spirit? It is impossible for a person to produce fruits of the Spirit unless they can understand the Word. Down through the years, people have not thoroughly understood the Word. There's been a veil over the heart of the people. There's been something that has been as a shade of darkness that's been covering their minds. There's been a time of twilight that we've gone through that era, and people have had a shadow over their mind. And even though preachers have preached their heart out, as we would use the terms, many times preachers have preached hard, and they preached for many long years, and they've tried to indoctrinate the people, enlighten the people with the things that's coming upon the earth and the things that they need to do. But in spite of all of their efforts, people have not been able to understand the Word of God. That's why that we've not had the power of deliverance in the church that we need. It's because people have not understood God's purpose and plan in the world. How many know that's true? But as Brother Ernie said tonight, the darkness is past and now the light shineth. Every time I think of that, I feel something go up and down my spine. The darkness is past and the true light shineth. From the time of Pentecost, from the time God's Spirit fell, right after Calvary, there was a darkness that set in. And scientists refers to it as the Dark Age. From that time, there was sorrow and heartaches, wars and problems that fell upon the people. And many people were destroyed during that period, because that darkness prevailed. But there came a day when Martin Luther stepped out, and when he stepped out, he declared the gospel of Jesus Christ and declared that the just should live by faith. And from that time, a great light began to shine, and things began to take place, and things began to happen, and the world began to take on a new look. Hallelujah. And things began to move in the life of people of God, because God has sent forth the light and it moved back the darkness, and the veil had been taken away, and the veil had been rent in twain, and something had taken place, and a great light began to spring forth. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Amen. Not too long ago, I was fasting and praying. I went over a place called Hard Labor Creek. And as I began to pray and talk to God, all of a sudden I went into a vision, and God came down, and God began to speak to me, and a voice began to tell me something was happening. And God began to speak to my heart, and there He told me by the Spirit of the Lord, He said, son, the veil is rent in twain, and now the ark of God's covenant can be seen. Hallelujah. When old Brother John saw the revelation, he was looking away and he said, as he saw the revelation, he said, I saw the heavens unfold. I saw the clouds move away. I saw a rending of the veil. And said, when I saw this thing take place, he said, I looked and the ark of God's covenant was beginning to shall move. Hallelujah. For the darkness is past and the true light is shining. That has passed away, and now a great light is coming to the earth. Jesus said one time, there's a great light that has sprang up to them that sat in the regions and the shadow of death. Unto them a great light has come forth. And this great, wonderful spiritual power, this great light of God, is beginning to show in the earth. And the great light is beginning to shine. The veil that's been over the minds of the people is about to be moved. You know, Paul the Apostle, he came along. They had worked great miracles and signs and wonders. And the great and mighty power of God had failed. Things had begun to take place. About that time, right in the midst of all of it, God began to raise up a great revelator. And this great Apostle Paul that stood up in their midst, he said, I magnify my office because I am the apostle of the Gentile church. And God began to do something in his life they had not done in the apostles' lives. Though there had been great miracles and great gifts and great outstanding things, yet now God was doing something that was altogether different than that which had been done. And here Paul stood up in the midst of them, and God gave him a revelation. And this great revelation was to rapture the church. It was to translate mankind and take him into the very presence of God, to move him right into the third dimensional powers of God, to take him up into the third heaven. Paul said, when I saw this thing, he said, such a one as I. He said, I know the man that was caught up into the third heaven and saw things that was not permissible for me to speak. And this great thing began to take place. The great power of God began to move. And this Apostle Paul stood and he received the great power from God and a great revelation and began to realize that in spite of all that God had done, that God could still do a new thing. You know the trouble with the church world today? They think they've seen everything that God can do. They say, I've been under the big tents, and I've been in the tabernacles, and I've been in the churches, and I've been in the assemblies, and Church of God, and Pentecostal Holiness, and the Baptists, and the UPC, and all the rest, and I think I've seen it all. But I want you to know tonight, God will do a new thing. And God's beginning to do a new thing. God said, I will do a new thing. And God's always got a new thing. That makes me feel so good. Hallelujah. To know that God is brand spanking new. Hallelujah. God always does a new thing. Amen. Just change right in the middle of the stream and keep going right on. Hallelujah. How many of you know what I'm trying to say tonight? God is doing a new thing tonight, folks. There's something that's taking place. Hallelujah. Something is taking place. This great revelator stood up in the midst of them, and here was Peter with the keys to the kingdom. A great, powerful man of God that resurrected the dead. People, somebody that could walk along a wall and the shadow ran such seeds in the hearts of the people that the Spirit of God could fall down upon them and that they could be healed right there just through the inspiration of Peter walking along the wall. But this great apostle stepped out and walked up to this great Peter, this great man that had the keys to the kingdom. Paul walked up to him and said, Peter said, I blame thee to thy face because thou art to be blamed. Amen. You know why God let Peter or Paul do that? Because God bestowed such honor upon Peter. Such great honor was bestowed upon this great man. But God had to change the thing because he was fixing to leave the Jewish people and turn to the Gentile people. And he was fixing to magnify somebody by the name of Paul the Apostle to raise him up that the Gentile people might have a part in what God was doing. You love the Lord, say amen. Something was taking place. So then this great revelator, this great spiritual leader, this great man of God, he saw something that was greater than the miracles. He saw something that was greater than the power of the spiritual gifts. And I want you to know tonight, we need the spiritual gifts. If you don't have one, you need to get one. If you don't have a pastor's got one, you need to get a pastor's got one. If there's anything we need in the church tonight, it's the spiritual gifts of God. Amen. Paul said, have it a gift. Amen. So God can establish it. But Paul saw something that exceeded the spiritual gifts. He saw something that would be better than just getting healed. He saw a way to stay healed. He saw a way to bypass the devil. He saw a way to get in the presence of God. He saw a way to get the anointing of Christ that would stay in your life. Hallelujah. He saw something was taking place that could pick you up from this earth and move you into the Shekinah glory of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm feeling better all the time. Amen. How many know that Adam didn't have eternal life? I'm going to get a repercussion here. If I can't get you stirred up one way, I'll get you stirred up another. Amen. I said, how many know that Adam did not have eternal life? Adam didn't have eternal life. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I beg your difference. Adam had eternal life. If Adam had eternal life, how did he die? What made him die? What made him die? If he had eternal life, what made him die? Eternal life means you can't die, folks. When you got eternal life, it means you can't die. You know what it was? God created Adam. God created Eve. And God placed them in the presence of that Shekinah. He placed them just like somebody standing out here in that great sunlight from heaven. He placed them there, and the sunlight of God was upon them. The Shekinah glory was upon them. As long as they abided within that Shekinah glory, they couldn't be hurt. As long as they walked in the presence of that Shekinah glory, nothing can happen to them. As long as they stay in the presence of that Shekinah, the devil couldn't get to them. Isn't that the way it is in the days of grace? Stay on this tent with Brother Ernie Harburg and you feel the presence of God. Stay in the church with your minister and you can feel the presence of God, because we're living in the days of grace. But folks, let me tell you something. Grace is fixing to be taken away, and God's going to do something. One day there was a voice, and that voice came forth. That voice began to call. That voice began to speak, and it was a voice of deception. That voice began to say to Eve, just a little bit of this won't hurt, and a little bit of that will hurt. I know the word of God is a little different, but just a little bit of this won't hurt, a little bit of that won't hurt. Now that I know that God said you got to obey the word, I know he's supposed to do exactly what the word said, but just a little bit on the side, that won't hurt. The pastor said just a little bit over here and a little bit over there, and the devil said, that's all right, don't worry about that. After all, you haven't really got to perfect holiness in the fear of God. You haven't really got to come down the line with holiness. It's just the way you look at it. And after a while, Eve began to listen a little more and a little more. And after a while, she began to slip. Her steps began to get slippery. And her life began to get shaky. And something began to take place. And after a while, she found herself in a new environment. It wasn't the Shekinah glory of God anymore. Why? Because she'd sidestepped the word of God. She'd gotten away from the word of God. Stepped over just a little bit. Away from the word of God. She'd gone out of the presence of the Shekinah. That's what's happened today, folks. God gave that grace from heaven from Calvary. Ever since Calvary, we've had the grace of God down upon us. Brother Denny, we've had the grace of God, the marvelous grace of God. And God has set forth perfect holiness unto the Lord. He said, perfect holiness. I've given you grace, Adam. I've given you grace, Eve. But it's time to perfect holiness. I've just got you in the presence of that Shekinah. But one day, that grace light is going out. One day, that Shekinah is going to be lifted. I've got you in the presence of it now. But now's the time to do something. Now's the time to make a change. Now's the time to be born of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And so it is. There they stood in the presence of it. A lot of people in the presence of it tonight, but they've never been born of it. Hallelujah. I like the way the second man Adam done it. When the second man Adam came along, he wasn't in the presence of it. When the second man Adam came along, he wasn't like Adam. He wasn't like the first Adam. He wasn't in the presence of that grace. He wasn't just created out of the dust of the earth, but he'd gotten a revelation. He received something from God. And when he came along, he just wasn't in the presence. of the Shekinah. But that second man, Adam, was born to that Shekinah. He was born to that holy light. He was born to that holy word. John said that light's in the world. The darkness is past, and now the true light shineth. He said, we've got a more sure word of prophecy. And the darkness is gone. Now the light is shining. That true light. Hallelujah. Something's taking place. Like the other day at the baptism. We was having a baptizing and baptizing Sister Floyd, a black sister, and some of the others. And I was preaching on the translation of the church. And I said, folks, the church is being translated right now. I said, it's being taken out right now. And the world doesn't see it because of their misinterpretation of what God's doing. And I was preaching on the catching away of Elijah. I said, Elijah went out just like that. And the light was shining everywhere. Just one big ball of light. That's all the camera caught. Just one big ball of light. You know what it is? The darkness is past and the true light shines. Hallelujah. Paul turned my people from darkness to light. That is, get them out of the old carnal mind and get them into the mind of Christ. Get them in the mind of Christ. That true light is shining. That true light has come. God has brought that light. Amen. When Jesus was resurrected from the dead, there as he was resurrected from the dead, they looked at him and John said it was as the sun shineth within his strength. And when they saw that woman standing on the moon, it said she was standing in the sun. That great light, John said, we've handled that light. And that light is the life of mankind. That great light has come down. Folks, it's time that we was born to that light. Born to that Shekinah. It's time that we moved into the Spirit of God and become born of it. Because as long as you're in the days of grace, you're like Adam and Eve. You can be led out of the presence of God. But when you get in that Shekinah, when you get born of it, the devil can't lead you out of it because it's part of you. It's part of you. You're part of it and it's part of you. Hallelujah. Heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. God within humanity. How do you understand what I'm saying? Something is taking place. They sent and got some of these pictures. Some of the people ordered a whole slew of these pictures. And some of them blowed them up into great big pictures. They sent me a couple of the big ones over there that my wife put in a frame. And folks, honestly, before God, the light is descending from heaven. That's the days of grace. Now listen to me. I didn't understand it till God told me what he was doing. But the grace is descending from heaven. Will you give me just a few more minutes? I'm not going to take long tonight now. But just give me a few more minutes here. Folks, this is a serious time. We know that it's the last days. I read it to you tonight. We know that it's the last days. We know that it's the last days. And the darkness is past and the true light shines. Hallelujah. So then they took these pictures. God spoke to my heart. I'd been telling him, I said, folks, listen to me. I said, this is the coming of the Christ. I said, you're missing the coming of the Lord because you've been taught that there's going to be what you call a rapture and there's going to be what you call a catching away. You say, Brother Pike, don't you believe there's such a thing as a catching away? I do believe there's a catching away. The Bible does not use the terms rapture. It said in Thessalonians, we shall be changed. And there is a world of difference, my friend. There is a world of difference. You say, why, Brother Pike? Because it said we are changed from glory to glory, from faith to faith. There is a change, more than an instantaneous change that Thessalonians speaks of, but there is a progressive change from glory to glory, from revelation to revelation, from understanding to understanding, as that great, wonderful light of God comes down within your heart to change your inner man. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, don't you believe that Jesus is coming back in the heavens? I certainly do. Thessalonians records it in the Revelation, tells us in John's writing that he shall come and every eye shall see him. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. and He is Lord of lords and King of kings. Hallelujah. In the book of Revelation 19 chapter, He comes riding on that white horse. Now, let me tell you something tonight, folks. Brothers and sisters in Christ, listen to me tonight. When He comes back in Thessalonians, it's going to be too late for you to do anything. It's going to be too late for you to do anything. When He comes back in Thessalonians, He's coming to the Jews. He's coming to the Jews. The days of the Gentiles will be ended. You can't do anything at that time. It's right now that you've got your opportunity. Grace is here now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want to get into deeper water tonight, but I just want to drop a little nugget here and there if I can. Amen. When Jesus hung there at Calvary, when they hung Him down on the cross, there He hung at Calvary, and the voice said, and the veil has been rent in twain. And the veil has been rent in twain. And I said, oh God, I said, what do you mean the veil has been rent in twain? I said, what are you trying to tell me, Jesus? What are you trying to tell me? And He spoke very plainly to me. The Bible said, and Jesus made within Himself twain. How many know this Bible? Yet He made within Himself twain, both Lord and Christ. Both Lord and Christ. He made in Himself twain. Are you getting me now? Are you reading me tonight, folks? Are you listening tonight? And He made in Himself twain. Both, the Bible said, Lord and Christ. And when God hanging up there, the Bible said the veil was rent in twain. What does that mean? It means the Lord was separated from the Christ. It was separated. There was both at Calvary. But God separated the Lord from the Christ. The Jesus and the Christ. It was rent in twain. The separation. He separated the Lord from the Christ. And there the Jews, that Jesus part. Pilate wrote a little thing there. And they hang it up over Calvary. And it said, He is the King of the Jews. And the Jews said, don't do that. We didn't say that. Pilate said, what I've written, He is the King of the Jews. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, that was a natural head that was being killed. How do you believe that Jesus is the King of the Jews? A king is a head, isn't that right? Is that right? There was a headship that had been smitten. The Jews had killed their own sins. How do you know that when you stick a gun up to your head and you blow your brains out, you kill the rest of your body? How do you know when you split your throat, you kill the rest of the body? How many know that? When they killed their head, they died. They died out of the presence of God. Is that right? They died, and they've been wandered through darkness ever since. Haven't been able to come back into the presence of God anymore because they killed them on themselves. They said, let His blood be upon us. But folks, let me tell you something. There's also a spiritual Jew. How many of you know that? Paul said, he that is a Jew naturally outward is not a Jew, but he's a Jew spiritually. How many of you are spiritual Jews tonight? Hallelujah. The Bible said, God's blessing and peace be upon spiritual Israel. Hallelujah. You know what? That natural Jesus was killed and that natural Jewish nation died. But I want you to know that second man Adam, that Christ, that second man Adam, hallelujah, resurrected from the dead, and He's here tonight. He's here tonight. He resurrected from the dead. Amen. And that was our head. That spiritual head was ours. We didn't kill Him. We didn't kill our Christ. And that Christ is here tonight. And we're not in darkness tonight. That darkness is fast, and the light shineth tonight. And that Christ has come back for His bride. He's come back. Listen, folks. He said, I go away, but I come again. I come again. Now listen. He said, the world won't see me. Hallelujah. You hear that? You hear that? Somebody said, I'm waiting for the coming of the Lord. Hey, the Bible said that every eye shall see Him. When the head of the Jews resurrects from the dead, He'll come back for His Jewish membership. And every eye shall see Him because that's the body. That's the natural part. But this Christ, my friend, He's come back after you and I. He's stealing away the jewels. He's stealing away like a thief in the night. And the world doesn't see it. And He's coming in that dark corner of mind as a thief, as a word of revelation, as a quickening spirit tonight, as a mind in the Word. According to the Bible, in the beginning was the Word. Listen now. And the Word was God. And the Word was God. And the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. Are you listening? And that Word was Spirit. That Word was Spirit. And when Adam lost his faith in it, and Eve lost her faith in the Word, they died. Isn't that right? They died. America's losing faith in the Word. And cancer and TB. All all of these dreadful diseases, tornadoes and storms and earthquakes, all of these things are coming down upon her. Are you listening? She's losing faith in the Word as she's drifting away from the Shekinah. In the beginning was the Word, and that Word was the Spirit, and that Word was God, and that Word came forth, put on flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His as the glory of the Father, filled with grace and filled with truth, came and dwelt among us, that Jesus that I'm speaking of here. Listen now. In the beginning was the Word. What good is that Word? That Word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Are you listening? I said that Word is the same to Brother Abraham, same to our beloved brother here, the same to this brother here. It was the same to Elijah. That Word never changes. And the Jews neglected to place faith in that Word. And it brought the destruction. It did not profit them. But tonight, if we don't put faith in it, it won't profit us either, my friend. It won't profit us, though the preacher preach it to you. The Bible says He sent His Word, and His Word healed them. If you're sick tonight, the Word will heal you tonight. Faith in the Word tonight will move the cancer and the TB and the trouble and problems that you've got tonight. If you hear the Word and understand it, believe it, it'll make you fruitful. He sent His Word and healed them. By His Word, He made the heavens and the stars. By His Word, He resurrected the dead. By His Word, He cast out the unclean spirits. He cast out the unclean spirits. By His Word, the Bible said He did it. Can you say hallelujah? Oh, glory to God, I feel better, don't you? Hallelujah, I feel the anointing breaking the yoke. I feel something taking place. Somebody say hallelujah. 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 Amen, I feel something taking place. Glory to God, hallelujah. Amen, the darkness passed and the true light shining. Hallelujah. Amen, and so then there's something tonight that God is doing. That Christ is here. That Christ is within your heart tonight. That Christ is taking the church. It's receiving the church. I go away. He said, but I'll come again. Now listen, but the world won't see me. He said over there, when He come, every eye should see Him. You follow me? But the world won't see me. Amen. I come again, but the world won't see me. You shall see me. Ooh, I feel something. He said, you're going to see me. You're going to see me. But the world won't see me. Jesus just walked along. He said, I do always the things I see my Father do. Somebody looked at Him, you know, and they thought, man, what is He talking about? Where's that Father at? I don't see Him. See, but the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. How do you know you got some eyes of understanding? Eyes of understanding. God's too great to see Him on these little old eyes here. About 22 conductive nerves from the eye to the brain here. Why, you can't see God on that. You'd go blind. But through the eyes of understanding, the eyes of Christ. Amen. He's doing a work, folks. He's pulling somebody out. There's two in the field. One's being taken and the other left. What is the field? The world. The world. Two in the field. One taken, one left. Jesus said in the parable, that was the world. Is that right? Two grinding at the mill. One taken and one left. Oh, my God. Listen, folks. Tonight, Christ is here. And we're together tonight. But who is it tonight that's the sons of God? Who is it tonight that's the daughters of God here tonight? Who is it? Who is it tonight? Oh, my. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop right along here. I'm right in the middle of the stream. I'm going to stop here. Tomorrow night, if the Lord's will and nothing happens, if we get to preach, I'm going to tell you about something about that garden. And you'll understand what I'm saying. Oh, hallelujah. I feel good, don't you? I feel God. I want you to stand with me tonight. God bless your heart. You've been a good listener. And I appreciate you and the Lord tonight. The darkness is past and the true light shineth. A lot of things I'd like to say tonight, folks. But the Queen of Sheba said the half hasn't been told. But I hope that you can understand what we're saying tonight. You love Him? I want to sing just a very little bit of amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Can you say that tonight? Now I see. Hallelujah. That veil's coming off. Ooh, I see something. Amen. Amen. When that pretty little bride,
praise God,
where Isaac was, when that pretty little bride got over there, he slipped the veil off. Hallelujah. They begin to see face to face then. Something's taking place. Hallelujah. Let's sing this together tonight. I'm just going to sing just a very little bit. And we'll turn the service back to our brother and let him minister to you tonight. Let's sing this together, will you? Can you get just a little higher, maybe? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.